we'll start with our second lecture for today by Sheikh Asim al-Hakim, entitled Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Messenger. Sheikh Asim, who I guess many of you will recognize from Peace TV or Huda TV, mashallah, has been active in the Dawah for many, many years. He, by profession, is a director in a company where he heads up a HR and PR function. He has a bachelor's in linguistics and his diploma in Islamic studies from Umm al-Qura University in Mecca. He's also a visiting khatib in a masjid in Jeddah. And I guess many of you will know him for his lectures on TV and various other places. It's his first time he's joined us in Bradford. So inshallah, encourage all the brothers to take some time to give him a warm welcome. The Sheikh would like to speak for part of the time and also offer the opportunity for some questions to be answered after his lecture, which would be taken by just putting your hand up inshallah, and the question will be taken inshallah. And if the sisters have so, they would please write them down and send them through to the brothers. To proceed inshallah, the Sheikh will start now. Jazakallah khair.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The topic I will be addressing inshallah would be the messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, the most stingy of you are those who hear my name and that do not offer as-salat wa salam alayhi. So whenever you hear the name of the Prophet, you always say sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The topic is vast and it cannot be covered in a whole day, let alone covering it in 40 minutes. If you would like to talk about the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, you have to devote your whole life to studying his sunnah, because he is not like any other man. He has been chosen by Allah the Almighty. He is the mercy, not to the Muslims, not to the believers, but to mankind, to the worlds. And we will try to highlight some of the points that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was awarded and given by Allah the Almighty as a messenger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that I was given five things that no prophet of Allah before me had been given them. So these are some of the five things, or some of the things that our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was given by Allah. But before going into this, how many prophets of Allah are there or were there, and how many messengers of Allah? Now, and this shows you again the weakness of our knowledge, our ignorance of the Quran. For example, we have a number of messengers mentioned in the Quran and a number of prophets, but is there an authentic hadith that tells us how many prophets Allah sent to man, how many messengers? There is a hadith which was authenticated by a Sheikh al-Albani, may Allah have mercy on his soul, and others, and some regard it as weak hadith. But as long as our imam in hadith is a Sheikh al-Albani, then we follow him whenever he authenticates a hadith or whenever he grades a hadith as weak. And he tells us that in the hadith of Abi Dharr al-Ghafari, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Allah had 124,000 prophets, and that's a lot of prophets. 124,000 prophets. Among them, there were 313 or 315 messengers of Allah. And on top of them all is our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He was given five things. Among them, Allah made him victorious by awe and fear of a distance of 1 month, traveling distance of 1 month. So before he went to fight his enemies, to reach them, it would take him 1 month. That distance, his enemies would fear him. And he was not a tyrant, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would not torture them. He would not mistreat them. But subhanallah, it is the fear that Allah throws in the hearts of the enemies of this religion. And he tells us that the second thing, Allah made earth means of purification and a place of worship. And this was not done except to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Other religions, they have to worship their Lord in their places of worship. Muslims, whenever adhan is called, whenever it's time for prayer, no matter where you are, you can face the Qibla and pray. Whether it's a school, it's a mall, it's a park, as long as the floor, you cannot see something that is impure, you cannot be sure and certain it is najis, then it's pure. Just pray. You don't need a carpet, you don't need a mat. Pray anywhere. This is the blessing and ni'mah of Allah. And if you don't have water to perform ablution, you're unable to wash, then just strike the earth once, wipe your face and hands. This was given to our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Number three, he tells us that the bounties of war that usually people get when they're victorious in a battle, this is made permissible only to our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his followers. Before that, they used to gather all of this and put it in an open area and stay away where fire comes and consumes all of that. In Islam, no, we are allowed to keep that. And number four, the Prophet ﷺ was given the intercession, better known as al-shafa'a. And what is al-shafa'a? The Prophet ﷺ intercedes on the day of judgment. And there are a number of intercessions on the day of judgment. But he is given this grade, status and level because of his position from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah loves him most. So all the people go to Adam, peace be upon him, asking him to intercede. It's hot on the day of judgment. Every single human being will be gathered. They will all be gathered in one open area, in one plaza. The sun will draw close to them. It's hot here, right? It's a little bit hot. On the day of judgment, the sun draws so close to people, they will sweat. It will be only a distance of, what do you call this, shimmer? A hand span or whatever. And they will sweat according to their deeds. Those who have good deeds, the sweat shall reach their heels. If their deeds are not as good, their sweat will reach their knees, their waists. And those who have no good deeds at all, they will be blocked to their noses with their own sweat. On that day, the people are petrified, they're terrified, they want to relieve themselves from what they're suffering. So they go to the prophets, they go to Adam. Adam tells them, I have sinned, I've eaten from the forbidden tree. Go to Nuh. They go to Noah. And Noah says that I had a supplication and I made that against my people, that Allah would drown them. Go to Abraham. Go to Moses. Go to Jesus. Everyone throws it to the other. until Jesus, peace and blessing be upon him and all the messengers of Allah, say, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And when they go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, I am the man, I will intercede. And he goes and he intercedes, and Allah accepts his intercession. He would also intercede to people who Allah had cast them and thrown them in hell so that they come out. He will intercede to people who they were judged to go to hell so that they don't go to hell. He will intercede to people who are in this level of paradise to be elevated upwards. And he will intercede for his uncle, Abu Talib, who supported him, who defended him, but failed to embrace and accept Islam and died as a mushrik. He will intercede for him so that he is not punished as much. So he is the least person in hell to be punished, his uncle. And what is his punishment? A stone of fire put in his shoes. From its heat, his brain boils. The man is not in hell. He's in hell physically, but there's no fire around him. It's only these two stones in his shoes. And his brain boils from its heat. His body conducts heat now. And the problem is that the Prophet tells us that he is among the least in punishment in hell. So if Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive a person's fornication, consuming of intoxicants, stealing, lying, backbiting, sleeping over Fajr prayer, sleeping over Asr prayer, sleeping over all the prayers, if Allah will forgive all of this, but he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, decided to punish you for a cigarette you smoked, then you have an idea of the punishment in hell. He is the least to be punished. So what will happen if Allah decided to punish us for all the sins we are doing? It's a grave and serious thing. The Prophet goes on, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the last and fifth thing that Allah has given him over all other messengers and prophets is that he was sent to all mankind, while all the messengers before him were sent to their people. He's the only messenger to be sent to all ethnicities, all races, all tribes. Not only that, he was even sent to the jinn. Luckily, we don't see them, but we believe in them. We believe of their existence, and we believe that our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was also sent to them. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has given him a status that is second to none. And all around the world, there wouldn't pass an hour without people mentioning his name somewhere or the other. And that is, his name is called five times a day while making the adhan. So when you say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you as well, so you also say wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And this shows you how important the Prophet ﷺ is in Islam, that his name is being always mentioned with the name of Allah. But the biggest, or one of the biggest mistakes that Muslims do, and this happens a lot in Arabia and elsewhere, that when you enter a masjid or you enter a house, you would find people with enthusiasm to Islam putting the name of Allah, Muhammad. And this is not good. You will see Allah's name and Muhammad's name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is not good. You cannot associate the Prophet with Allah. He's merely a servant and a messenger of Allah. But when you put the two names, those looking at it would say they're equal, or at least equivalent to each other. And this is serious. This should not be. We love him. We follow every single move he did. And we pray to Allah that we will be with him on the Day of Judgment, but avoid anything that associates him with Allah in the sense of shirk. You cannot have his name with the name of Allah on a wall or even elsewhere. Allah Azza wa Jal called our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, but he never called him by name. He never said, "O Muhammad." He would always call him, "O Prophet of Allah," or, and this was mentioned 13 times in the Quran, or would say, "O Messenger of Allah," and this was mentioned twice in the Quran. But you will never ever find Allah addressing him with, "O Muhammad." While if you recite the Quran, you will find Allah addressing Moses, Noah, Jesus, all the messengers of Allah with their names, "Ya Musa," "Ya Isa," and he would not say to them, "Ya, O Prophet," or "O Messenger." And Allah Azza wa Jal forbade us from calling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam Muhammad. So you should not say, "And Muhammad came, and Muhammad went," sallallahu alayhi wasalam. You always have to say, "And the Prophet of Allah Muhammad," or "The Messenger of Allah Muhammad." So never fall into the mistake of calling him by name alone. This is a sin. Allah Azza wa Jal, when mentioning the prophets, he would always mention Muhammad, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name first. And this is mentioned in a number of verses of the Quran. I do not like to go into details into them, but whenever Allah says that we have revealed to the prophets before you and to you, and to Noah, Ibrahim, Moses, Isa. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to love him. It is a must, it's not a choice. It's not something that you do voluntarily. It is part of your belief and your iman to love our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than you love anything else. And that is why Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah that if your fathers, sons, brothers, wives, your tribes, the money you've earned, the trade that you are afraid of losing, the houses you like and live in, if all of this were more preferred, more loved by you than the love of the Allah and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the jihad in his cause, then anticipate Allah's wrath and punishment. You cannot love your wife more than you love your Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You cannot love your children, your money. But what does that mean? The Prophet is not here anymore. How do I love him more than I love anything else? By following him. By having the feeling that if he were to be among us, I would defend him with my life. I would put my neck down just to defend him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That companion who was abducted by the pagans and was sentenced to death, just as they were trying to put him, just before putting him to death, one of the pagans asked him and said, "Do you like that you're now in your house with your wife and children in Medina, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in your place? Do you like to have this exchange? You're gonna be headed in a few seconds now, but do you like this?" And this companion of Allah, this companion of our Prophet alayhi wasallam said, "By Allah, I do not want, I do not desire to be with my wife, children in my home in Medina, and the Prophet in Medina alayhi wasallam is getting a thorn in his foot. Not even this little itch of a thorn, rather than him being in my place. You crazy? He's the Prophet of Allah. My love to him is far greater than the love of anything that you could imagine." And that is why the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, "No one will be a mu'min. You will not be a believer until you love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam more than you love anything, even your soul that you have. If you love him more than your soul, you're a believer." And the Prophet says also alayhi salatu wasalam, three things that if a person has, he will taste the sweetness of Iman. Now does Iman, does belief have a sweetness to it? Yes. Why don't you find the sweetness when you pray Fajr, for example? Some of us do. After they pray two rakahs of Fajr in the congregation, they leave the masjid, they feel that they have the whole world in their hands. Others finish all the prayers and say, the Imam prolonged the prayer. It's hot. I didn't like the smell of the carpets. The guy next to me, you know, he's itching all over through prayer. I couldn't concentrate. They don't find the sweetness. Among the three things that the Prophet mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam, if you have it in you, these three things, you will find the sweetness of Iman. What are they? The first thing, that you love Allah and you love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam more than anything. So you check yourself. When someone talks about his sunnah in front of you and ridicules it, or makes fun of it, or makes fun of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is it part of integration to say, yeah, I disagree, but is this the way you treat it? No, but also you don't kill the man. You have to, you know, have it in between. You have to show your disagreement and disapproval of this kind of talk, but do not continue to talk. You just leave. But accepting it and having a laugh or a smile, this shows that you don't love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, the Prophet was the Imam, not only to the Muslims, but to all the messengers of Allah. When he sallallahu alayhi wasalam took the journey from Mecca to Bayt al-Maqdis, he met all the Prophets and he led them in prayer. And this indicates to you that he is among the very best of the messengers of Allah, because leading people is one thing, but leading the messengers and the Prophets is another thing. His nation, us, is the best among all other nations. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that you, his nation, complete 70 nations before you. At the side of Allah, you're the best of them and you're most honorable to Allah among all the other nations. The Prophet tells us alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah has blessed him that plague, the illness, the disease, the plague and the Dajjal, who's known as the Antichrist, will not enter his Medina. And there are angels with their swords protecting it. So if you want to escape the Dajjal, make hijrah to Medina. I'm not making an invitation, it's very difficult, but yani, we can all dream. And also the plague will never enter Medina. The Prophet is the first that the earth will open on the Day of Judgment for him to be resurrected. So he's the first to be resurrected, and he's the carrier of Liwa al-Hamd, which is the flag of praising Allah Azza wa Jal. And he's the first one to enter paradise. No soul shall enter paradise before him. And he's among the most to have followers of all messengers of Allah. It was reported in the hadith, the sahih hadith, that Moses saw, peace be upon him, a lot of people coming. And he said, Who are these? Are these my followers? He said, no, these are the followers of Muhammad, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he cried. And he was asked, why do you cry? He said, a lad comes after me and he has more followers than I do. And we love our Prophet Moses sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love him a lot, because if it weren't for him, we would be praying 50 prayers a day. Can you do this? Pray 50 prayers a day. He said, what did Allah tell you? He said, he told me 50 prayers were prescribed for your ummah. So he told him, go back to your Lord, go back to Allah. I know the Jews, your people are not better than the Jews. They will not do it. So he went up and down. Allah is taking five every time until they were five only. He told him, go back, your people will not be able to do it. He said, I'm bashful. Alas, I'm ashamed of going up and down to Allah. And Allah made it five, but with the reward of 50. And are we doing these five? Or we have 20% commission or 20% sale off Fajr prayer? Come on, Fajr is too early. Allah Kareem, Allah is most forgiving. Okay, what about Isha prayer? Isha is too late. Okay, what about Dhuhr? I'm at work, I can't pray. What about Asr? I'm on the way to home. What about Maghrib? Listen, I have to sit with my family. So lots of the people unfortunately do not pray on time. There are lots of things to be covered. I'll just say them in points. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as mentioned in the Quran, he's awwalul muslimin. He's the first among the Muslims, meaning the first to accept the call of Allah Azza wa Jal. But before him, there were lots of Muslims. So all the followers of the messengers of Allah, they're called Muslims. So those who followed Musa at his time, they're Muslims. And those who followed Isa at his time, they are Muslims, because the religion at the side of Allah is Islam, is submission. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as mentioned in the Quran, the people should love him and he should be closer to them more than themselves. As mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, that he is supposed to be closer to us more than ourselves. And his wives are, just to assure that people are not sleeping, our mothers. And this is only to the Prophet ﷺ. His wives are our mothers. We cannot marry them. The companions could not marry them. And they have the status of our own mothers, flesh and blood. So we respect them. And we do not tolerate anyone saying one negative thing about them, as you do not tolerate anyone saying anything bad about your mother. The Prophet ﷺ always said to us that whoever obeys me, he has obeyed Allah the Almighty. So by obeying him, by following his footsteps and teachings, you are obeying Allah. And there is nothing in his teachings that is not logical. All of his teachings, people by nature, even the non-Muslims, accept this. Look at his teachings and have a broad vision when you look at it. Don't, you know, isolate yourself into one thing and say, why is this haram? Look at the whole religion and you will find that it is logical, that it is accepted by everyone. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is a mercy to all mankind. And Allah has pledged, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect his religion and to protect him personally. He was protected, and this goes without saying. But his religion, since 1430 years ago when he migrated to Medina, up till the moment, the religion is preserved. The only book that people can, without any doubt, say that has not been altered or changed is the Holy Quran. Arabs speak the language, they understand it, and no one can falsify it or say that there is this or that. It is the perfect book, and this was the pledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is a sin, as mentioned in the beginning of Surah Al-Hujurat, to raise your voice over his voice. So the companions would never ever raise their voices at his presence. And to us, it is a sin to think other than what his teachings state. So if someone says, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said so and so, so what do you think? Subhanallah, what do you think I am? I'm a Jew. I tell you the Prophet said so and so, and you say, what do you think? Definitely I'm going to follow the hadith.